Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Hey, this is Annie.
And Samantha.
And welcome to Stuff Mom Never Told You, a production of iHeartRadio. So for today's episode, before we get started, we did want to put a trigger warning at the top for grief, loss, and death. And certainly, I will say, take this seriously. If you're struggling with any kind of loss in your life or grief, because I cried researching this episode, and I honestly, it takes a lot to make me cry for research. So just put that out there.
Yeah.
And this is a listener suggestion, so thanks for sending. This listener wrote in about being, quote, that girl that lost their partner, being in a triad and the different ways of coping with shared grief, how to live with it, how it impacts you for the rest of your life, and how everyone wants to fix you, but they don't know how. So yes, we're talking about grief and loss of love and partner.
Right. And at the beginning, we're going to go ahead and tell you, this is not a solution. This is not an episode telling you how to do something or that we've got an answer for things, more so that we were talking about what does it look like, what are we facing, and maybe even the differences with the pandemic that are happening today.
Yes, yes.
So we've talked about grieving and loss before, but we didn't necessarily talk about losing a romantic partner and what that's like. And disclaimer, again, most of this research is about married cis heterosexual couples. And unfortunately, it's not because we don't want to talk about it. It's because A, the lack of research, B, sometimes there's a refusal for acknowledging these other relationships as being legitimate, as we want to say we do. And but just to put it out there, and it largely is, again, focused in the Western world in the U.S., but we really do want to come back and look at all of this in other countries. India, for example, has the most widows, so we do want to have a bigger conversation, but kind of just slowly drawing it out. And again, as you heard, this is a really difficult topic, so I feel like these need to be done in small increments.
Yes, and we'll probably bring it back as a classic soon, but Kristen and Caroline did an episode on the widowhood effect a while back, and we're going to talk about that a little bit in here. But if you are looking for more information on this and the history of it too, then that would be an excellent resource for you. And one thing I did want to include in here, because I honestly was confused about this, and I just never had the real impetus to look it up, was the difference between widow and widower. So from Grammarist, quote, a widow is a woman whose spouse has died. The word usually refers to a bereaved woman who has not remarried. Widower is simply the male equivalent of widow. It refers to a man who has lost his spouse and has not remarried. The word comes from Old English, where widow was widow you and widower was widowa. That's probably not how you pronounce it, but my Old English is a little rusty, believe it or not.
It's better than what I would have done, so good job.
And we did try to get to the bottom of that. For the most of this episode, we are talking about women and widows, but sometimes people do use them interchangeably, so it can get confusing still. But we'll try to specify where those cases are.
So, yeah, and go into some stats. There are about 13.6 million widows in the U.S., and every year about 700,000 women are widowed. About 11 million of those 13.6 million are women, and women are four times likelier to outlive their husbands in heterosexual contexts. The gap gets worse with age, and when we look at the 85 and older category, the number of female widows is almost double that compared to men, and female widows are less likely to get remarried. Not that that means you can't find meaningful relationships outside of marriage, but there are less men to choose from. And over half the widows in the U.S. are under 65.
Right. So when we look at this, the loss of a romantic partner is a life-altering, traumatic event. It's like losing a piece of yourself. The Holmes-Rae Life Stress Inventory classifies, quote, death of a spouse as a 100, and that's the highest score possible. The grieving process that follows is messy and confusing and painful, and it looks different for everyone. Anger, survivor's guilt, confusion, difficulty concentrating, quick to tears, inability to sleep or eat or make a decision, and there are probably a lot of big decisions that you need to make in that time. All of those things are a normal part of mourning. It is not a linear process. There are good days and there are bad days, and it never completely goes away. You don't completely get over it, as they say. Small things like smells, foods, items others might see as unimportant suddenly become the most important thing. Your life plans are put on hold indefinitely, or sometimes even go out the window entirely.
Right. Multiple studies have found that losing a partner is one of the most likely events to lead to depression. It is a huge cause of life stress and leaves those grieving susceptible to chronic stress that can lower life expectancy. Some studies suggest heartbreak can cause stroke or heart attack in a small number of people. Problems which are exacerbated with age. And for some, the depression and stress become so entrenched for so long, psychiatrists sometimes can't tell those symptoms apart from major depressive disorder, MDD. There's even a footnote about it in the DSM-5. Further complicating this is the vast variety of symptoms and many that differ depending on the nature of the loss. Like, was it sudden? How was the relationship prior? Things like that factor into how grief manifests.
Yes. And I know I've said it before. One of my favorite quotes from Buffy the Vampire Slayer is the episode her mom dies and Buffy asks Tara about her mom's death. And Buffy asks, was it sudden? And Tara kind of pauses and she says, it's always sudden, which I love. And we have talked about the complications, the health complications of heartbreak before pretty recently, if you want to go check that out too. A study looking into the likelihood of developing severe depression after the death of a partner found that one of the most reported symptoms was loneliness, and that the loneliness triggered other depressive symptoms that are very hard to break free from. However, it did find that only a minority of people developed severe depression. Those dealing with this type of loss are also at a higher risk of engaging in unhealthy coping behaviors like alcohol, drugs, and in general, not taking care of yourself. Suicide is also a risk. Widows are 2.5 times likelier to kill themselves as compared to the general population in the first year after the loss. There are increased risk of dying from car accidents, cancer, heart attacks, and strokes, like we said earlier. And all of this collectively is called the widowhood effect. A meta-analysis on this from 2012 found that compared to married people, widowhood was associated with an increased risk of death of up to 22%. This is most pronounced in young widows, classified as in their 40s and 50s, but the numbers are pretty much the same for younger widows. They're just rarer. The first 3 months after being widowed, the surviving partner's risk of death has been documented as high as 66%. Although the numbers do vary pretty significantly when you separate out the health of relationship, how the person died, and the type of negative outcome. Those are still some pretty stark numbers. Over at the Globe and Mail, Christina Frengo wrote about her experience becoming a widow at 36. And it's an incredibly painful but really moving piece. And in it, she describes being a widow like being cast in a role that she was not prepared for. She didn't have this tool she needed to do this. Just when you share your life with someone like that and then they're not there anymore, there are all these things that means and all these reminders every day. It was a really beautiful thing.
Right. We've also discussed how women are likelier to have a support group, which is one of the best things to help someone through grief. From an actual 2014 study, quote, sudden unexpected deaths of wives will be more harmful for men than expected wives' deaths as men gain more from marriage and may need more assistance compensating for the loss of a wife. The opposite will occur among wives. Women may provide more care to spouses with chronic conditions, which may have harmful effects on their health.
Yeah, so just to reiterate, that is from a 2014 study. That's not like it was from the 60s, the 70s. 2014. But anyway, we do have some more for you listeners. But first, we have a quick break for a word from our sponsor.
Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor. And we did want to touch on the point that the listener who suggested this made about people wanting to fix you after the loss of a partner. Because I, at least in my research, I noticed that Google seems to confirm that that is very much a thing, with all the top results for losing a partner being articles about how to, quote, get over it or work through it, which makes sense. When you see someone you care about hurting, you want to help. But there is no easy fix. I can't imagine finding an article, just here are your 7 steps and you'll be fine.
Right.
Yeah. One of the top suggested searches were how long does grief last after the death of a spouse, which I thought was also enlightening. Studies suggest that widows lose up to 75% of their support group after a loss, and many describe feeling invisible and sort of people are there for you maybe in a month to 3 months right after, but then they drop away and not knowing how to deal with you or how to approach your grief or mentioning this lost partner and sort of fading away because of that.
Right. Right. So while social support is a huge help, it's often not quite enough. Many need therapy, just as a reminder. Whether or not they have access to it, that's a whole different story. So that's something that we should be talking about as well, access. But I digress. And it is true that after such a really big significant loss, people in your social circles might start thinking of you as the girl who lost her partner. And like the listener said, which makes it harder to move on, which because it's a constant reminder that just hangs and looms over. And on top of that, people try to get to suss out if you're grieving correctly and how you're doing it and what you're doing and if it's not okay and how it's okay. But things like, are you too sad? Not sad enough? Which can make you feel really self-conscious. And then when it comes to dating other people after loss, there's judgment and guilt there too. I couldn't imagine, because you have to be like, oh, I have to wait just so long enough, or I've, you know, did this not long enough. How? I couldn't imagine trying to pick back up.
Oh, yeah. Well, I feel like there would be not only would you have those external people judging you and worry about that, but even I would guess you feel quite conflicted yourself.
Right. There's a lot, definitely a level of that guilt.
Yeah. And there's so many layers of that too. Like, did you have children? Did you have a house together? All these things factoring in. And like we said, you know, that you're going to have good days and bad days. So it's not as if you've suddenly reached a point and you have, quote, moved on, or it is okay. That could bounce all over the place.
Right. And again, it's also like work. Have you come back to work too soon? Did you come back in time? I know I've definitely seen moments where you see bosses not being understanding enough, mm-hmm. you know, or just having the will to do so. What does that look like?
Yeah. These are all things just like a storm inside of you. And going back to dating, this it's just a whole can of worms. Because there are those feelings of guilt around being happy with someone else, about not doing more date activities with your partner when they were alive, sharing a home you and your partner built with someone else. So I read a lot of articles where people are saying, I had questions like, what do you do with pictures of you and your partner? When is the right time to take them down? Is there ever a right time to take them down? What do you do with their stuff? When do you put that away? Do you donate it? If you're married and you have a ring, do you take off the wedding ring? If you have kids, when do you introduce them to someone new? And how do you manage taking care of them by yourself when you're struggling so much with all of this grief? And then the kind of external questions of, you know, people thinking, like, how could you ever be happy with someone else? Right. I thought you had true love. That's only a once-in-a-lifetime thing, which is not true. And we'll talk about that more in a minute. But
right. And I don't know. I've actually read recently the Reddit forum called Am I the Asshole?
Oh, yeah.
Had a big question. And this dude who his wife wasn't married to him, but she was engaged to him. And she had the ring. And something happened where it came out about, and he, I think, either gave it away, threw it away, or something, because he was so tired of her grieving over this man. And I was just like, oh my God.
Oh.
And it wasn't like she was grieving. It was something to do with the anniversary of that time of the death or something. And he was just so, I was just so taken aback. I was like,
yikes. God.
But then that's the other question is, if you do have a new partner, mm-hmm. how do you make sure they feel secure? Hopefully they would be secure, but that those questions and guilt also float about.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true, as we were saying, studies have found people judge widows dating more harshly than we do divorcees. So that's a whole big question, which is kind of like, what? We don't, okay. And back in Victorian times, women who could afford it were expected to wear widow's weeds and limit their appearance in public for at least a year, usually more than 2.5 years. And if going out was necessary, they had to cover their face with a veil.
Yeah.
And we found an ad for London General Mourning Warehouse for this very thing.
Yeah, which blew my mind.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. I do think about the old Victorian movies where there's always that woman who's lost her husband and shamed, but she's the rebel because she came out too early. And it was like year after.
You travel in different movie circles than I.
I do. It's true.
I will trust that is true. My reference would be more like horror movies where the ghost is like a widowed woman.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I definitely just watched a really bad horror movie where he was a widower, now that I know the correct term.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens with grief.
There are a lot of them out there because we're afraid of grief and grieving women, people in general, but especially grieving women. We don't know what to do. Similar to what we talked about in our love episode, our pop culture is big on that idea of, yeah, the one. And that can be extremely upsetting if you lose your partner. Psychologists write about being in love with two people at once if you find a new love after you've lost your partner, the person who is gone and the one who isn't. Dating someone new does not mean that you are over it. And Patton Oswalt described this whole situation as getting struck by lightning twice of finding love again, which was really, really beautiful. And I didn't know this. I didn't know widowed was a status on dating apps. And a lot of people were describing whether or not, like, feeling guilty for saying single, but they didn't want to say widowed because they felt like then people avoid them or, like, come in with all this expectation there's going to be baggage and stuff. So that's a whole added thing. Once you enter the dating world.
It's very intricate, those titles in dating apps.
Oh my gosh, it sounds stressful to me.
Me too. And since a healthy long-term relationship involves the splitting of responsibilities, the surviving partner may have to learn how to manage those things that their partner took care of. And I will say my mother would be one of those, that they're very, very specific responsibilities between my mom and my father.
Yeah.
And if one of them would die, it would be a lot of readjustment for them.
Yeah.
And then come the practical things like making sure you have a will, putting any property under your name if necessary. Holidays become painful too, and ridiculously painful. Household income drops by around 40% after the death of a spouse. And if we look specifically at elderly women compared to the rest of the population, they're twice as likely to be living at or below the poverty level in the U.S., and poor men are more likely to die as compared to men who aren't poor, meaning more widows are coming from poor households.
Yes, and there's also stigma that might be a factor if the partner died of suicide or in prison, for instance. And I'll say, since my dad died, I've seen a lot of this with my mom, primarily guilt, a lot of guilt, and almost a PTSD around other people she loves dying or are getting sick. Probably every time I talk to her, that comes up. Especially, I mean, right now during a pandemic, she'll, like, I could mention in passing, I had a headache or something, and she's just so concerned about it. So I've seen it play out with her, a lot of the stuff we're talking about. And we do have a little bit more for you. But first, we have a quick break for a word from our sponsor.
Snagajob is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered
for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor. So first of all, if this is something any of you listeners are going through, we are so, so very sorry. And we know that it's incredibly painful and lonely, and probably the last thing you want is advice. And you've heard it all before. We're going to include some of the key things people say, but yeah, there's really not a set system that's going to fix everything. Experts recommend allowing yourself to grieve in your own time and in your own way. Don't compare your experience to others, taking things one step at a time, not rushing, reaching out to your support system, things like that.
Right. And just to add, just another podcast that talks about grief, talks about the breakdown of the grieving process that we know, the anger, all of that, the acceptance, which could also be a more of a misconception than the actuality. And to remember, grief and mourning is an individual thing, and people do not react the same way. So there's no right way to the mourning process, and to give yourself and others the freedom to deal as they need to in a healthy manner, I hope. It's especially hard right now when we're having to social distance and things are closed, making it hard to adhere to some of the traditional advice, like joining an exercise class or a group, or going to support groups, which, by the way, they do happen virtually, so you can find those, or even the face-to-face therapy that mm-hmm. most of the people need. Again, that is available virtually, but that also has a question of if it's the lower income, right, what is available,
yes,
and how much access do you truly have.
Also the internet conversation too, because I feel like
right.
that's getting left out a lot when people are like, well, virtually, not everyone has access to the internet.
Right. And I think that's just a reminder of, first of all, this is a really bad circumstance. Secondly, this is an awkward time and really difficult time. And you put all those together, there's no right way.
Yeah. Yeah, if someone you know is going through this, be there for that person. Offer practical ways you can help if you can. Don't say, let me know if you need anything. Say, I can drop off groceries at this time. Is that okay? But do check with them. Don't change the subject if they talk about grief or their partner who they lost. Don't say things like, they're in a better place, or I know how you feel, unless you've gone through loss of a partner. Keep checking in, things like that. Another thing we need, more research. Recently, there has been a push to do research into partner loss in LGBTQ+ relationships, particularly when it comes to issues like lack of support due to a non-disclosed relationship. Almost all of the research, as we said, has been on cisgendered, heterosexual, monogamous couples, which leaves a lot of people out. And more research is going into the intersection of race and widowhood. Black people are more likely to be widowed compared to white people by about 10 percentage points. And since we know that the gender wage gap is worse for women of color, that manifests for widows of color as well in terms of their financial situation after they lose a partner.
And this also goes for polyamorous relationships, the lack of research, all of that. In one article, a blogger begins with the fact that they had begun their polyamorous relationship in the 70s, which was fairly new to come out and embrace. And then they kind of progressed into now that it's been established and we know that it works, what does grief and loss look like? Because they are slowly coming onto an older age, more health complications. I think one of the bloggers talked about a group who had lost someone to a heart attack and stuff like that, and a stroke. And just what grieving looked like for them as a community, which has always been together and has been tight-knit for them. In it, they specifically talk about loss and remembrance and making the statement that they do have others that can help take on the burden of loss, unlike that of a monogamous relationship. But with that, they also feel lost more often or on multiple scales. And kind of that same conversation we had before, they're not able to recognize it. And sometimes they're not being recognized as a partner if it's not a primary relationship. And it is really interesting to see how grief and loss works for them.
And we should mention here, too, that the fact there isn't a lot of research on what grief looks like within poly relationships due to the fact that it is often not recognized legally and sometimes socially, which only adds to the complications of how to grieve or what grieving can look like. It becomes tangled with the legalities that heteromonogamous relationships typically do not have to think about. And then if you add to that, if it isn't recognized, much like queer relationships, widows cannot or feel like they cannot publicly grieve or mourn.
Right. So for marginalized communities like this, there's the bigger conversation of uprooting the cis-conservative ideas of relationships to allow for the openness to celebrate the relationship and to grieve over the loss of it. And again, the legalities that will not allow for the recognition of these relationships. So I think one of the biggest things is you can't really research until people acknowledge it as being a thing, and it needs to be a conversation where our policies and our structure needs to change for them to be open and allow and have that research.
Yeah, there are so many layers to this conversation, and I'm glad that we are having it and we're expanding the research. It's long overdue. But thanks so much for the listener that sent this in. There are definitely pieces of this that we could expound upon if anyone's interested. If you think we should look more into a specific part of it, please let us know. You can email us at stuffmediamomstuff@iheartmedia.com. You can also find us on Instagram at Stuff Mom Never Told You or on Twitter at Momstuff Podcast. Thanks as always to our super producer, Andrew Howard.
Thanks.
And thanks to you for listening. Stuff Mom Never Told You is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
This episode is brought to you by Pedigree.
If you've been looking for love at first sight, it is closer than you think. It can be found at your local shelter. So this June 7th to 9th, join the Pedigree Adoption Drive, and the Pedigree brand will reimburse your dog adoption fees nationwide.
Pedigree knows that bringing a dog into your home not only opens their heart, it can open yours too. Visit pedigree.com/adoption-drive to learn more about the adoption drive and to see full terms and conditions.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. 2 420-foot vertical speedways, 3 launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Roger that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.